It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. The sports analyst that covers it all brings it all every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sometimes they go into overtime. You don't want to miss these two former college football athletes, the Who Dat and Niner Gang, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Bang Bang Niner Gang.
It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott, and we read it right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. It is Wednesday, 7 p.m., so that means you are tuning to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, we got a great one dialed up for you this evening. We're going to talk some HBCU, of course. Always want to lead off with that. Want to talk WNBA, recap the WNBA draft, and then talk about women's basketball as a whole and how much it's grown so fast in the last couple of seasons. Definitely got to talk to NBA finals, the NBA playoffs, excuse me. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors that have been eliminated, what that means for the Warriors, tonight's game between the Sixers and Heat, Lakers. We're going to try to preview the Lakers and Nuggets as well. Of course, the Celtics, the Knicks, just a plethora of NBA topics for you for sure. Also, want to talk NIL. We want to talk about the transfer portal as well. NIL, should there be a cap on that? Some new news came out today as well as far as them giving unlimited transfers to those who are in great academic standards. Also want to talk some NFL, of course. And then we're going to also give our all-time, NBA all-time starting five. Can't wait to hear E. Scott's. I have mine. A couple of guys have been out there, you know, giving their some head scratcher for me, but for the most part, some of them were pretty decent, and I can respect them. And of course, at the end of the show, it's E. Scott's entertainment segment. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't check out my post, I am putting up $25. So please join the talk and see if you can take me down this week. So with that being said, let's bring in Mr. E. Scott. Mr. E. Scott, how are you doing this evening, my brother?
Now, check it. You tell your friends to get with my friends, and we can be friends. We can do this like every weekend. Is that all right with you? Keep banging.
Good stuff. Some people may say, about that one, though, if you know what I mean. But I like it. I get it. I like it. But, you know, some people who know where that reference, you know, comes from or who says that, maybe a little bit different, feel a little bit different.
You got to separate the art from the artist.
Artist from the art. There you go.
Now, Puff Daddy, the artist.
Yeah, okay. You know what,
Eight? Art.
There you go, E. That's what we always say that, too. We always say that, too. It's good stuff there for sure. All right, E, let's jump right into it because, you know, like I stated, we got a lot on the board that we want to get into this evening. And I want to talk HBCU. I send this topic to you just to see if you want to, you want to talk about them because I was looking at something the other day, E. And Coach Eddie Robinson came across my mind. It came across to something I was looking at, and I was looking at his accolades, man. I didn't realize. I mean, I knew he was a great coach. I knew he's inducted in the Hall of Fame, all that good stuff. But his numbers are outstanding. I don't know if you want to, expand on that and talk about that, or if you got something else you want to talk about. But just Coach Eddie Robinson, man, just outstanding numbers there for sure.
Yeah, we can go with Coach Rob. I got it when you sent it to me. Now, Coach Rob, overall record is 408, 165, and 15 in football. Mm-hmm. I was actually at the game. I wasn't a student. I was in grad school. When he won game number 400, I was actually a part of the broadcast crew. that broadcast that game. That was, you know, one of the highlights in my broadcasting career.
Nice.
But like you said to me, you was like, okay, normally when you talk all-time winningest coach, I mean, you hear Bobby Bowden, you hear Coach Joe Pa, and then, you know, Penn State got in that trouble, so they vacated some wins from him. Mm-hmm. They vacated some wins from Bobby Bowden. You've never heard any of Coach Rob's wins getting vacated. I mean, because for all intents and purposes, he did things the right way. But you're right, he's never really spoken about, and I think that's largely because a lot of people don't know about him. Unless you're a college football fan, or especially an HBCU college football fan, you might not know who, you know, Eddie Robinson is. I mean, now, today, you know, with social media and stuff, it's a lot easier for these guys to get notoriety. But, you know, Joe Pa and Coach Bowden, there wasn't no social media back then either. But, again, they were on TV every week. You know, they were legendary in their own right. But I do think there's a big disservice to Coach Rob, given, you know, his accomplishments. He was 9-6 in bowl games. He won 9 Black College National Championships. Which is no easy feat to do. I mean, because, and I know some people are always saying, oh, well, he coached at an HBCU and the competition is different. It doesn't matter. You got to win where you can win at. Even if the competition is not up to the same level as, say, D1, but you're still playing your light competition, and you still got to win. And he did that more than anybody. I mean, he's from South Louisiana. He actually went to undergrad at Leland College. That's a school, not the folk school, in Baker, Louisiana. And he got his master's from University of Iowa, and he is a D9 member. He's a member of A5A. So, I mean, he was his presence, because, like, I got on the yard in fall of 89, and he was still the active head coach at the time. And, I mean, I just see him out on the yard. I see him on campus. But his presence was larger than life. I mean, it was almost like, I don't know, like he was the president, but he was so humble. I mean, he was very approachable. I mean, because from where the old stadium was, where the locker rooms were, and the practice field, that was quite a hike. And he used to run with the players. I've seen him do this. Run from the old stadium up to the practice field. And his thing was, he used to always tell them, I better not beat any of y'all there. I better be the very last one. And he would run with these guys every day. Wow. I mean, he just had one of those personalities. Like I said, it was larger than life. He always had a smile on his face. He was very approachable. I mean, I've heard him speak many, many times. He was just an overall good guy. And the fact that he's not, you know, mentioned with Coach Bowden, Coach Paterno, and these guys, it's a real travesty, K-Walk. I was really glad you brought this to me.
Yeah, it really is, man. When I looked at his numbers, man, it was just outstanding. I mean, it was just outstanding. These numbers are so overlooked. And you mentioned the Paternos and the Bowdens, and, you know, and Nick, you could throw a Nick Saban there as well. And when you talk about the greatest head coaches of all time, college football head coaches, his name is never mentioned. Never mentioned, ladies and gentlemen. And I feel I feel like I'm ignorant to it as well. I forget exactly how I came across it, but when I saw it, I was just thrown back by the 9 national championships. I was like, wow, he really had that many. And then when I dug deeper into it, he coached 13 years of basketball at Grambling State.
Yeah, you're right. From 1943 to 1956. Yeah, he was the head basketball coach as well. And he was also the first to 400. I mean, he got there before those other guys did. Yes. He was the very first. Like I said, it was a big deal, the 400 game. I mean, we had ESPN down, because at the time, I actually met Robin Roberts. She came down.
Yes.
I mean, it was a big deal. And, he was the first to 400. It was amazing. And, like, they declared it Coach Rob Day. Like this was this whole thing, K-Walk. It was like really, really impressive. You had a lot of dignitaries on the yard. The stands were full. I mean, because a lot of times at an HBCU football game, the stands aren't necessarily full until halftime. Come halftime, the stands are full, but after that, it's like a big social event. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, some people like myself are there for football, but a lot of people are there just to socialize and whatnot.
Yeah.
But no, this one, the stands were full for the game. I was, luckily for me, I was in the press box. You know, the catered press box, which is always good. But, yeah, looking out, yeah, the stands were full. I mean, it was just a good time. It was a good day. He won it. Like I said, he first to 400. All his other accolades, he went on to win 8 more games. The only coach, I think, maybe the next year. And then, sadly, he passed away back in 2007.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, a real good guy.
Yeah. I've heard nothing but that. And you can tell by the way, you know, he talks, he interviews, you know how he sounds, and he's a passionate guy. He was a passionate guy. Let me ask you this. You talk about broadcasting. You talk about meeting him. Have you ever gotten a chance to interview him at all? No,
I was actually – I produced the interview. My man AC, he's also no longer with us, but AC, good friend of mine, he was the sideline reporter for this particular game, and I was actually in the booth, but I did produce it from the press box, but I never got a chance to interview him one-on-one. I mean, I've talked to him, but never like on the record, because he used to have a press conference.
Gotcha.
Like the game was Saturday. I want to say the press conferences were Tuesday mornings. Those were also catered, you know, as a poor college student, you got to get any kind of catered stuff you get, you got to get. So I used to go to those, and I mean, yeah, just an overall good guy. I wanted to get my boy, we've had on the show before, Sam B, on the show to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sam B was there for some of this too, but unfortunately he wasn't available. But maybe we can get him on a little later and, you know, revisit some of this. But, he's a legend in Grambling because, what used to be the women's gym, it's now been converted into the Eddie Robertson Memorial Museum.
Wow.
So he has his own museum, you know, right there on campus. Like I said, when I was in school, that was the women's gym. That's where we got the Intramural Center, and that's where we used to go play ball, ping pong, stuff like that. But now we got the Intramural Center, so they went ahead and converted the women's gym into the Eddie Robertson Museum.
All right, good stuff there. Great stuff there. Yeah, we had to bring that. I had to bring this to the forefront, man. And I didn't know what you had slated, but I just wanted to just throw that there and see if you wanted to talk about this. And you know, this week or maybe say before another week, wasn't sure. Cause I know you always have something great dialed up for the HBCU talk, but I couldn't. You know, I just had to throw this your way, man, and see if you wanted to talk about it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, it's just outstanding accomplishments that just not mentioned enough, in our opinion, without question. So we're going to, again, like E stated, if not tonight, we're going to revisit this at some, at a later time, without question, because I think, you know, this segment is just not enough, nowhere near enough to talk about and all the accolades and how much of a great man and a great coach that, Eddie Robinson, you know, was for sure. But as you do always, E, you let another great segue here, man, and that's you talked about the women's basketball, the women's gym. With that being said, I want to talk about the WNBA, man. The WNBA had their draft on Monday night, and I wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on, you know, on some of these players that went, the most notable, of course. We won't dive too much into it because, you know, a lot of, you know, probably our listeners, maybe they do, maybe they are into it. But just for the sake of the show, we'll talk about the most notables. And we'll talk about, you know, Caitlin Clark. First of all, let's lead off with that. I mean, that's a no-brainer there, E. So, we all knew, everyone knew, it was all a formality. It was all but, you know, a formality that she was going to be the number one pick, Indiana Fever. She's teaming up with Aaliyah Boston, who was Indiana Fever's last year's number one overall pick. And Aaliyah Boston has been doing some outstanding things. She did an outstanding thing in her first year there. Now, I just want to ask you this, E. How do you see this team? How do you see this collaboration, if you will, this pairing of Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston? How do you see, you know, them, you know, this year. We know Caitlin Clark is going to have a lot of adjustments to make, you know, in the WNBA. She's not going to be able to run buck wild like she did in Iowa. And she has a season vet, a second-year vet, in Aaliyah Boston to help her, you know, adjust to the game. But how do you see these women, you know, getting together, collaborating, and how much success do you see them having in their first year together?
Okay, let me start here first. First thing I want to say, you know, hats off to the WNBA and the WNBA draft as a whole. Last year it did close to 600,000 people. I think it's about like 580,000. Mm-hmm. This year, 2 million. Two million. And I think a lot of that is attributed directly to Caitlin Clark. Now, I was talking to our good buddy Shipp this morning, as I always do, about this. And Shipp thinks that, I mean, and he's not wrong in his opinion, but he thinks Caitlin was exposed in the national championship game when Raven Johnson started guarding her, and she won't be able to be as good in the WNBA. And my thing was, all that might be true. I'm not saying it is, but it might be. But I'm saying, if I'm a general manager, I definitely take Caitlin Clark number one, strictly for the economics that surround her. I mean, because, I mean, there are other good women in the WNBA draft. Don't get me wrong. Angel Reese and, you know, those are, but to go from 600,000 to 2 million, that's largely attributed to Caitlin Clark. And I just say, you know, I tell Shipp, I said, well, if you were a general manager, you didn't draft her number one, you trying to get fired. I said, because you got to take this. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's all hype and it's going to go away. I was like, hey, but you got to ride the wave while it's there. Now, I think when she gets to WNBA, she's going to be coached different. She's going to have to play different. And she seems to me, K-Wall, like the kind of athlete that can make the necessary adjustments.
Yes.
I mean, granted, she won't be able to, like you said, run around like she did in college because the level of talent. But keep in mind, she is also very talented. And at Iowa, unless you are a basketball fan, you can't name two other girls over there. I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. But now that she's in the WNBA and she'll be playing with Aaliyah Boston, that takes a lot of the pressure off of her because she don't have to score 40 a game now.
Exactly.
I mean, because when she was at Iowa and she didn't put up 30 or 40, they were probably going to lose the basketball game. But now she's been matched up, like you said, with a star. If you will, she won't have to do that. All the pressure won't be on her. And I think she's going to have a pretty good WNBA career. I mean, it's yet to be seen. But, again, you have to take her number one for the economic impact that she will have on your franchise. To me, that was a no-brainer.
Yeah, and what I loved about, you know, what you stated there is what I was going to kind of lead off with is and what I wholeheartedly believe is that if she can take that Iowa team, and like you mentioned, like you can't name, like if you're a real bas- I mean, if you're a nonchalant basketball fan or a women's basketball fan, you know of Caitlin Clark, but you don't know any other players that you know that she played with. She took that team to a national championship, and you know, against an undefeated South Carolina team, they started off on a 10-0 run, you know, to open up the game. So that speaks volumes to her ability to not only score but to facilitate, because she can do that, and she has shown that she can do that. She's shown that with, you know, the players, you know, if she said, basically, you saw that if you run the floor, Caitlin Clark was going to get you the ball and you were going to score. And that was the main goal there. That was the focus there, you know, with Iowa. Now you take that same player with that same mentality, the same skill set, and you take her and you put her in a WNBA with better athletes, you know, that's surrounding her, that you're surrounding her with. And then she doesn't have to score. She doesn't have to score the 30 to 40 points in order for her team to win on the next level. What she has to do is get everyone involved. And then what ultimately that's going to do is going to open up the shot for her. She's going to get open jump shots, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, we all know that she can hit an open jump shot for sure. She's open as soon as she steps off the court. I mean, as soon as she steps off the bus, without question. So, yeah, I like it, E. I like that. I think she's going to adjust to the game. I think, like you mentioned, she's going to be coached differently. You know, she's going to understand that people are going to play her differently. She's not going to be the same player. She knows that. She knows that there are at least, what, there's 12 teams in the league, 12 players on each, so it's, what, 144 players. So there's 143 other players, you know, besides her team, you know, that can play defense just as well as Raven Johnson did, Jackson did in that national championship game. She knows that. And that's a good attestment to her. That's a good, and I'm glad that she was able to get that look, because now she knows what to look forward to going into the WNBA for sure. So she's going. It's going to be some growing pains. It's going to take some time, but I think she'll get it right, and then I think she'll ultimately be the Rookie of the Year. And I think that you'll see her grow and become a different player. No, she's not going to score 30, 40 points. She may do it on one night here, another night there, but she's not going to be called upon to do that without question. All right, next one here. I just want to ask you about Angel Reese. You mentioned her earlier. Angel Reese was drafted by the Chicago Sky, and the reason why I'm bringing up Angel Reese, I know that that Cardoso was drafted before her. But Angel Reese, we all know, you know, she's the biggest name out there, and after we talk about Caitlin Clark. But Cardoza, you know, the South Carolina big player there.
You heard it right.
Yeah, the big player. I wasn't going to the big player.
No, so you heard it right. Yeah. That's what I was saying when I was watching the game. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
My wife, Heather, said the same thing, bro. She said the same thing about Cardoza. But anyway, about the player there, but we'll call it a player there. But nonetheless, the pairing of those two, and we know that Angel Reese is a rebounder. She's not a much of a scorer. She's not a much of a shooter. But Cardoza, you know, we know she's got that low post game, and you know, she's able to rebound, you know, as well. How do you see these two getting together? And, you know, Cardoza has come out and said, no one's going to rebound on us. How do you feel about this pairing of these two?
I think that's going to be a good – oh, hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, my bad. No, my thing slipped out here. I think that's okay. Going to be a good matchup as well. Now, with Angel Reese, I was a little surprised that she fell in the draft where she did, because she has a big economic factor around her as well. If I'm picking high in the draft, I think I would have, you know, taken her earlier than where she was taken too, just for the economic impact. But I do
gotcha.
Think her and Cardoza will match up well together. They're going to be good on the board, but I don't watch the Chicago Sky, so I don't know who else is over there, but they will mm-hmm. need shooters around them. Now, that they will need.
Yeah, without question. And they do. I don't have the roster in front of me, and we're not talking about, you know, the WNBA itself. Just want to talk about the players that we watched, you know, in the tournament and ultimately in the championship, and just some notables here, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part. But, you know, we'll dive into, you know, once the season starts in a couple of weeks. It's so scary that
yeah.
they go right from the draft and then they go into the season. It's like where is the where's the training camp at? How much time do you have to prepare for that? And you know, it doesn't leave these rookies, you know, a lot of time to adjust. I mentioned adjustments with Caitlin Clark, and then, you know, she needs adjustments, an adjustment period. You know, the others behind her who's been drafted behind her is going to need those as well. But nonetheless, yeah, I the WNBA draft, you mentioned the numbers there, E. And I want to talk about the WNBA and as a whole, and women's sports as a whole as well. Now, the WNBA right now has come out and they said that they want to expand. They want to add more cities. Some of the cities that were named Philadelphia was one. I think South Florida was another. I believe, I can't recall the other team, but those are the two that stand out to me, Philadelphia and South Florida. And the reason why I say Philadelphia and South Florida, because Philadelphia, I think, is a perfect spot, a perfect landing spot for a WNBA team. You know, I think they, you know, you call them the Philadelphia Freedom. I think that's a perfect name for them. You know, it's the city of brotherly love. You know, you got Benjamin Franklin, the Liberty Bell there. So call them the Philadelphia Freedom. Now, another team, another area was another market was South Florida. They didn't say Miami or anything of that nature. They just said they called it South Florida, which is interesting, E, because also Serena Williams has come out and said that in the right market, before this came out, in the right market, she would be willing to purchase or be the owner of a WNBA team. And we in South Florida, we know it's, you know, Miami, and we know that she's a partial owner along with her sister Venus, are partial owners of Miami, the Miami Dolphins as well. But what say you about this, E, and what it means for the WNBA, and how soon will we see this happen, and will, you know, do you think that, you know, Serena will indeed be an owner of an WNBA team?
Now, Philly, I'm on board with 100%. South Florida, I'm a little iffy on, only because South Florida don't really support their teams unless they're winning. I mean, like,
okay.
The Heat don't get a lot of support. Like, when LeBron left, they didn't get a lot of support. The Dolphins kind of hit or miss. I mean, they got a pretty decent hockey team down there. It's hit or miss. I mean, it's just like when you think of Mecca for sports, you don't really think South Florida. I mean, it could
right.
work, but I do think that there are some other cities that might benefit more. Now, I think Philly's perfect, and I also think the timing on this is perfect. Like my grandma just said, you got to strike while the iron's hot. And
yes.
right now, women's sports, especially basketball, that iron is hot. So I
yeah.
think if they're going to expand, the time would, you know, be perfect to expand, you know, right now. Because, you know, they're going into a TV deal. And that's where your
yeah.
real money comes from.
There
because
you,
like, you hear people all the time say, oh, well, the men make so much more than the women. And they do. But most of that money comes from television deals. And now
yes.
the WNBA, since they hide in these streets, they about to get a TV deal, which will
mm-hmm.
allow, you
yeah.
know, players to make more, and they will, you know, get paid more money because they will generate more revenue. I hear now that, you know, charter flights are going to be improved. Because, you know, back when I think it was 97, the WNBA first came out, you know, there were actually two leagues. There was the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
and there was that other women's basketball league, which is never really talked about anymore. But anyway, the WNBA was 100% owned by the NBA teams. Now I hear it's like up to 70% private ownership, meaning 70% of the teams are owned by people outside of the NBA. And so to start these new franchises, I think if you put one in Philly, I think the 76ers should start out owning them. Then you can go into private ownership. Same in
yeah.
Miami, unless the money is already there. Now, Serena, because, you know, her money long, if the money's already there, then, you know, you do what you can. But I would like to see, you know, more equality in the pay of this, but I am also a realist. I know until the TV money comes, it's never going to be equal, simply because, you know, they just don't generate money like that. But I am happy for them. Again, strike while the iron is hot, and, hey, let's get this thing done.
Yeah, for sure. What I want to do is let's grab our first break here because we've got our good buddy Special K holding. So when we come back, because I want to talk a little bit more about this, E, because you touched on some great points there as far as the money, the TV contracts, and now I want to talk about the salary cap. I mean, the salaries that these first round players are making right now. We're going to break that down. And then I also want to ask, you know, with the TV money, when and if are we ever going to see $1 million WNBA player? And I want to touch on so much more of that. So let's definitely dive into that, you know, after the break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know where you are because you're here. It's Sports Talk with K Walk and E Scott. Never had it so good, sports radio.
This is Sam Drushkin, CEO and co-founder of Vintage Labs. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're pausing for a break, but they'll be right back.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most. Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
CampLyman.com is an opportunity for my big boys to come get some work. Let's put it all together. We build from the ground up. You know, our cliche is it all starts up front. Once again, start, stance, hand placement, hand separation, get offs, counter moves, a little bit of everything. Polish up those skills before your middle school or high school season began. Just come work on your craft. Once again, CampLyman.com.
Welcome back. It's Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this evening. If you're just joining us before the break, we led off with HBCU, talked about Coach Eddie Robinson, the late, great Eddie Robinson, gave our tribute to them. And just wanted just to bring to everyone's attention, you know, how much he has not been talked about, you know, amongst the greatest college coaches of all time. So we definitely wanted to talk about that in this week's HBCU segment. Also talked about the WNBA draft as well, and this is where we're at right now. And we want to talk about the WNBA, give them some love, show them some love right now, because it is an up-and-coming organization without question. And when you talk about how much these ladies are making right now, just from a salary, a basketball standpoint, I mean, when you talk about Caitlin Clark, her you know, as the number one overall pick, ladies and gentlemen, keep that in mind. She's going to be making $338,000 over 4 years. You do the math. It comes out to, believe, like $76,000, if I'm not mistaken, $76,000 a year. I mean, that's what, you know, some of us make from working a 9-to-5 job, if you will. We granted she gets, you know, she's getting the sponsorships and the commercial deals and things of that nature, without question. And if you look at the NBA number one draft, the number one draft pick secured $55 million over a four year period. So we get it. It's pretty young. I know it's over 25 years, about 25 years. We get it. And as far as, you know, if you go back and look at the NBA when it first started in the first 25 years, if you look at, you know, if you look at some of the players who were in, you know, in that league at the time, the top players, they were probably making the same amount, a little bit more. But this leads me to my question here, E, and I want to bring in a special K on this one as well. E, you know, when are we going to, are we, if and when will we see, do you think that we'll see a million dollar WNBA player, and how long do you think that will take in your honest opinion?
I'm going to say if things keep trending upwards like they are now, yes. And I think it will be Caitlin Clark, and I think it will be when she extends after 4 years. And the reason I say that, because by then the TV money will be solidified. will know what the TV money is. And that's the only way this is going to happen, the TV money. Now, with that being said, too, we also got to look at, like right now in the WNBA, not counting Caitlin Clark because she was just drafted, who else in the W is box office? I mean, because I don't follow them that close. I mean, I know they got some teams and they got some players. You got, you know, Taurasi and Breonna Stewart and them. But are they box office? I mean, they're more like local, like to the cities they play in and to true fans. I think Caitlin Clark is going to be the first really box office superstar. I mean, because she's going to, like, no matter what city she's in, people are going to want to come out and see her, at least in the beginning. And if that can keep trending, they can get this TV money. We know what the TV money is. I mean,
right.
I think she'll get pretty close to a million. At the very least, about 750,000. Now, I can't understand. Now, granted, $300,000 over 4 years is not that much when you talk about professional athletes. But what I can't understand is why she didn't go get this $5 million from Ice Cube. I would have jumped on that in a heartbeat. I mean, in a quick fashion, in a hurry, as they say. So, yeah, that I don't want to – I mean, I know she's going to make the endorsement money and her WNBA salary, but all those things are still true, even if she takes this Ice Cube money. So that part has me a little puzzled.
Yeah, I think in that aspect, I think she turned that down because she really wants to play the WNBA. That, you know, she's trying, you know, Ice Cube is trying to do the same thing that you feel like that, you know, the WNBA did or the Indiana Fever did by, you know, drafting her number one from the economic aspect of it, you know, trying to, you know, sell as many tickets as they possibly can. I think that's why Ice Cube, you know, presented her with that, that opportunity. So, and she respectfully turned it down, and I would have too, because, you know, she's going to make a lot more money.
She wasn't able to do both. It was an either or situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know if she could have done both. I don't see why she would turn it down.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It would be either or.
Yeah,
it would be either or because they're both doing the summer.
Hold on, Kay. Let me introduce you, man. Let me bring you in, Kay. I got to introduce you properly, brother. Come on, man.
My bad.
Hey, listen, we got Special K on, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a long-time listener, you know who he is. If you're a first-time listener, he's a regular caller, always, and I want to bring him in. First and foremost, thank you for calling us and calling in again, brother. And how you doing this evening?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's everybody?
Hey, what up, Kay?
Continue, brother. I'm sorry to cut you off,
bro. Well, real quick, if it was an either or, then I get it. I was under the impression that she could have done both. But if it was an either or, I get that part now. Go ahead, Kay.
Yeah, I was just helping you out, man. You can finish up.
No, I'm saying if you're right, they're both in the summer, and she probably – and, yeah, her dream – was probably to play in the WNBA. I don't think her dream was to play for Ice Cube. And I guess she figured she can make this $5 million up, which, you know, she probably can. And again, you know, I don't know her financial background, what she come for money or any of that. But if it's either or, I would have went to the W too. But now if Ice Cube would have came back and said, hey, if 5 ain't enough, we'll give you 10. Goodbye, WNBA. Hello, Ice Cube. Today was a good day.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I get that. And I think Ice Cube was looking at it the immediate, like, yeah, if I throw her this money in right now, but she's looking at the long run. You know, she's looking at, you know, is this being a marathon, not being a sprint. And I think she's right on board with what we're discussing right now is the potential of the WNBA and how much this means. And, you know, you alluded to the TV deals, and you know that's where that money comes from. And we see it in the NBA. We see it in the NFL. Each and every year, the salary cap goes up because of the money of the TV money goes up each and every year. So that's what's ultimately going to happen with the WNBA. They're going to, whether it be ESPN, whether it be a WNBA channel, whether it be, you know, well, ABC and ESPN are one and the same, but, you know, maybe you see TNT get involved, TBS, you know, it's the summertime. So we know that those channels right now are going to be salivating to, you know, to get these, you know, to get these ladies, you know, exposed as much as they possibly can. So, and then there's a WNBA package out there as well. And it's low priced, as low priced as well. So if you can't, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't get it on your local TV, you're going to get it. If it's out of market, you're going to be able to get it because they do offer it. I purchased it last year for like $27, something like that. And this year, I think it went up to like $42 or somewhere like that. Still, you know, for the most part, it's still reasonably priced. But get it while it's hot, it's going to go up each and every year. But Kay, let me ask you this: will we see, in your opinion, will we see a million-dollar WNBA player in the near future? And if so, who do you think that player will be? And before you start, you mentioned some players that, you know, it's not boxer. Candace Parker and those ladies from the Las Vegas Aces may have something to say about, you know, they're not box office because they won back-to-back championships. But just wanted to just throw that out there. But Kay,
as a team, they're box office. I'm talking about like individual players.
Candace Parker.
She is because she be giving Shaq the business on TNT.
Yes.
So yeah, I give you
Indeed.
That one.
Indeed. But Kay, what say you about that question about being with the million-dollar player? Do we see that?
I mean, we don't know if there's not one out there now. You know what I mean?
Let me rephrase the question.
We're looking at
NBA salary.
NBA salary. Yeah, not endorsements itself.
Not
endorsements. We're talking about getting
sources. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but seriously though. Still, even on salary, right? Like, if it's we talking total contract, we talking $1 million a year or total contract?
I'm talking about $1 million a year. We don't think we have $1 million contract out there for it.
I've never done research on that, but quick thought would be, one, we don't know. Certain markets may be able to pay it. But as far as rookies go, I would say based on the way it is now, I say we're probably 5-10 years off from that, before we see a rookie coming in with that kind of deal in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, Caitlin Clark right now has to be the biggest name coming in and probably at least 10-15 years, and what she got, 320. So that tells you where their money's at. You know what I'm saying? What kind of? And my understanding is they get the majority of their revenue from the NBA. So you know, I don't know how factual it is. These things have come up in conversation that they're actually kind of in the negative. Again, let me say, be clear. I don't know if that's factual. I haven't done the actual research. I mean, just judging by what we see, again, she has to be the biggest rookie coming in quite some time. So 320 for her, you know, biggest name, this, that, and the third. She should have broke the bank, you know, which probably on WNBA standard, she did break the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right. I'd say she did.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It's, you know, I would say we're probably 5-10 years off before a rookie gets that kind of deal. As far as public knowledge on WNBA deals, and somebody having like a huge contract where they're making millions a year, she may be the first, but she will have to come in and make that kind of splash right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too, because like once this TV money hit, salaries will go up. But, yeah, she's got to sustain the hype that she has right now.
Yeah.
She can't fall by the wayside.
Right. At any point this die down, you know what I mean? You're going to cancel Christmas on that. Delay time. I'm going to give you another player that had that opportunity because the hype that was around her coming in, I thought she would have been, you know, like that big name player.
Brittany Griner?
Not Brittany. Not Brittany, but she had an opportunity too, because if she would have came in dunking all the time like she was doing in college, I think that would have raised up, you know, instead of the maybe one time a game. But like if she would have came to the game like Shaq or something, you know, as a WNBA woman, it would have been different. She would have blew the roof. But now that I say it down, I forgot chick name. But she played for New York. She was like under the tutelage of Kobe or whatnot. She came out of Oregon. I can't remember her name though. She had the shoe deal before she even touched the floor.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, who I know who you're talking about too, bro.
But my point is the hype that was around her when she got drafted, I think if she would have hit the ground running like that, then maybe she, you know, might have drew some more attention. But yeah. The only chance they really have is lowering that goal or you know, Caitlin sustaining what she has, that momentum she has right now, that's that word, if she sustain that, then it could be, it could come fast. You know what I mean? If they develop some kind of hype, some kind of rivalries, you know what I mean? Some big time rivalries, like with this whole Angel Reese and, Jesus, what's the girl name, man, from South Carolina? The center,
Cardoza,
yeah. Mm-hmm. With her and Angel Reese, being rivals and now on the same team, you know what I mean? That's going to be some attention. So if these young ladies that had all this attention in college can sustain that by playing outstanding ball, then I can see the WNBA numbers this year alone skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then it could only continue from there. You know what I mean? It almost like a Jordan splash, you know, when he came to the NBA, because a lot of people forgot or forget that, you know, before Jordan, the NBA was dying, you know what I mean? And he kind of, you know, revived it with him and Magic. So,
yeah. Were you talking about Sabrina Ionescu?
She's
legit, man. You're absolutely right. And she's been living up to that. That hype as well. But the more you talked about it, the more and more I thought about it, for sure. All right, let's do this. Great stuff there, guys. We can go on and on. We can have a whole show about the WNBA, and we may do that, you know, at a later date. But right now, we're going to dive into some more topics. And what I want to do here is I want to grab our next break. We got some bills to pay here. And when we come back, I want to turn it over to the NBA. We got some NBA playoffs. We got NBA playoffs. Warriors were eliminated, you know, last night, and I want to talk about, you know, them. Is this the last dance? Is this the last dance with the Golden State Warriors version of the last dance? Because they have some big names. They're a dynasty, so we'll definitely want to talk about that. Plus, LeBron James and the Lakers move on to face the Nuggets. The Sixers and the Heat right now are in a dog fight right now. Jimmy Butler just went down. He's holding his knee right now, so it's not good for my Heat. But I think he's going to be all right. I don't think Jimmy is going to go out like this. But nonetheless, and we got so much more to talk about, and plus we want to dive into so much more with the NIL deal and the transfer portal as well. Again, ladies and gentlemen. Like I always say, you know where you're at because you're here. It's Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. Never had it so good, Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, this is Jaquan J. Kelly, a.k.a. Jamel Arif, Master Killer of Wu-Tang and American Saga on Hulu. You're listening to Sports Talk with K-Walk and E. Scott. They're taking a quick break, and they'll be right back.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
At Vintage Labs Collection,
We are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@javistax.com, 1040@javistax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
Welcome back, welcome back. It's Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott. Right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. I'm joined by our good buddy, Mr. Special K. If you're a long-time listener, you know Special K is here with us almost every week. Appreciate you, brother, for definitely doing that. And appreciate you listeners for dialing in and listening every week. Got the numbers last week, and they've been going up, E, and listeners. We appreciate you guys for showing us so much love. It really is appreciated for sure. So if you keep it going, and check out our Facebook pages. We're going to give that information to you guys because during the summertime, you know, when it kind of dies down, we're going to send some information to you on our social media platforms. And, you know, we're going to post certain questions and certain, you know, give you certain things to think about and present to us as well. We know a lot of you are scared to come on or nervous to come on the show. We get that. We understand that. But if you feel like, you know, you can, you know, you want to talk about anything, we'll talk about it. Again, ladies and gentlemen, just call in. 347-637-3286, and we'll talk about anything and everything you want to talk about for the most part, without question here. All right, here, E, let's talk about the NBA, man. And I want to talk about the Warriors. They were eliminated last night by the Sacramento Kings, and it wasn't even close. And Klay Thompson, man, note that it was no part of Splash Brothers right now, man. He didn't even dip his toe in the water for the most part. They are eliminated. They have a lot of work to do. They have a lot of money strapped. They have Chris Paul, who's on the hook for $31 million next year. They have, Klay Thompson on locked in at $43 million. And we all know about Steph Curry. He's probably safe. Then you got Draymond Green as well. Was this the last dance for the Golden State Warriors this season? What say you?
Well, I do think it's over. I think Klay was like 0 for 140 last night. He couldn't throw it in the ocean. Draymond has really played himself out of basketball. He can't seem to stay under control. And, I mean, that type of behavior is permitted. Well, I won't say permitted. That type of behavior is not as detrimental when you're winning. But when you're not winning, they're not going to put up with that. And so, Steph is still Steph, but then some bad business decisions have been made over there. I'm not going to say the Klay decision is a bad decision because when Klay was balling, Klay was balling. But I'm just going to say the Chris Paul situation, it was a bad decision. Only because you got Chris Paul, you got an old Chris Paul. Chris Paul's best days were behind him when you decided to give him all this money. I think that was a terrible business decision. And so if you can't move on from that, that's going to be detrimental to you. But, look at it like this. They, won 4 out of 5? So they had a good run. I mean, they won one before KD got there, 2 with KD, and they done won one since. And I think they went to the other one, the 73-1 team. I mean, the 73-9 team. So that's 4 out of 5. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. I do think you can legitimately call them a dynasty. And, you know, all good things must come to an end at some point. I mean, the Celtics, they ended, came to an end, the Lakers, even the Bulls. Came to an end. So, you know, they ain't got nothing to hang their head about. But I do think, and I don't, I mean, Steph is a great player, but I think Steph is what, 35, 36, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can rebuild around Steph. I think at this point in Steph's career, if he wants another ring, I think he needs to go to a contender. I don't necessarily know if you can build around him there in Golden State. So was this the last dance? Yes.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And like you mentioned, you know, like father, I mean, like any player that's been out there, a longtime player, whether it be Tom Brady, whether it be a LeBron James, whether it be a dynasty, you know, father time's going to catch up to you. Like you mentioned, you alluded to, you know, all good things must come to an end. You know, yeah, you can give them a run. You can give father time a run for your money. You can take him as long as you know, for the ride, as long as you possibly can. But ultimately, the goal is to be father time, which you're not going to do. So, yeah, I agree with you here. It's time for a new dynasty. Who's that new dynasty? Who that next dynasty will be? That we'll definitely bring that up. During the summer, who that possible dynasty could, you know, who will be? But Kay, what say you? About this? Is this the last song, the last dance? Are they singing their hey good na 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 goodbye, all that good stuff, whatever you want to say about the Golden State Warriors? But all seriousness, is this the last time we're going to see these guys together?
I'm gonna say I truly don't know, man. I mean, the smart thing to do would be to, you know, let's try to move on, or, you know, see what we can get, you know, that type of thing. And I'm thinking from a business standpoint, I guess, or trying to think mm-hmm. from a business standpoint, you know, I don't know the NBA like that, but, or the business like that. That's a hefty price tag, on that stadium. You know what I mean? And they need to put butts in the seats. If you move Steph, you don't have a problem filling them seats. You know? Or let me say this. If you move Steph and you don't bring in another superstar, you're going to have a problem filling them seats.
What I was saying, I wasn't saying they should move Steph. I was saying if Steph wants to win another championship, Steph got to work his way out of there. But you're absolutely right. They'd be crazy to move Steph because he the bread, butter, and the dish you serve it on.
Yeah, and I don't think if he got to move himself out of there, it ain't going to be easy. You know what I mean? Because if Steph still sells tickets, as we had that conversation last week, who moves the needle? Steph moves
yes,
the needle.
Steph is box office. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's a tough sell, man. Now, Draymond, I don't know how loyal they is to Draymond, but they showed some
Draymond
of their loyalty last year.
Well, Draymond had overstayed his welcome, Seth K. They should have moved on from Draymond about 2 years ago.
We say that, but we don't know their temperament. And I say that to say, you know, my point on that is, last year, we all saw the video, Draymond done punched this man in the face, but who got moved?
But see, you're absolutely right. But the reason I said they should have moved on from 2 years ago, you could have got something for him. You can't really get them, but you can get a, what's your boy name? You can get a Justin Fields. For him now, but 2 years ago you could have got a first maybe a good pick for him, but now he damn his goods.
I don't know, because when you got dog players like him, you know, that play the role that they play, they learn how to last a little bit longer than the average in the league, and somebody picks them up. I mean, case in point, Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean? He's a knucklehead too, you know what I'm saying? But he managed to stay in the league for a while. So, you know.
I got three words for you. Locker room. Draymond not a locker room guy. The Dennis Rodman said
he
wanted to fight him on the court. But according to Mike, when he was there, he was a locker room guy. Now, the problem was getting him there, you know. But if he could get him there, he was a locker room guy. And he just wasn't always going to be there. He up in Detroit wrestling.
Yeah, right. Or Vegas.
Well, I mean, you
somewhere.
May be right, but yeah. I don't know, man. I think they had that conversation with everybody, see how everybody feel, and make a decision. And I think the decision is going to be they see who they can get in there, you know, that's going to fit with what they got. And they keep filling them seats next year with Steph, Draymond, and Clay.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. All right, you know, good stuff as always, guys. You know, I want to stay on the NBA talk, and I want to talk about the Bucks. And the Bucks right now are the number three seed right now. They're set to face the Indiana Pacers in the first round of the playoffs. Now, Giannis is right now has been ruled out for what they say the start of the playoffs. They didn't give a number. I don't know what number that is. That could be one game. That could be four. We don't know exactly what that number is. They just stated as the start of the playoffs, E. So with that being said, are the Bucks in trouble, E, you know, against the Pacers? Are we going to see another first round exit by the Milwaukee Bucks due to a Giannis injury? What say you about the Bucks? And keep in mind Doc Rivers as well.
Yeah, I was just about to break that down. Are the Bucks in trouble? Yes. Not necessarily because of Giannis, and I don't know it'll be the first round. They're in trouble because Doc Rivers is their leader. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen this dude just mess it up more times than you want to count. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe it's mojo. Maybe it's juju, voodoo. I don't know what it is. But, yes, they are in trouble because Doc Rivers is their leader. Now, some people probably have to say, but he won one with the Celtics. Yeah, one. Look at the talent he had over there. He managed to win one. This dude will be blowing 3-1 leads. I don't know. But now, they do need Giannis. I mean, because Chris Middleton needs to be healthy. Dame needs to step it up a little bit. But it all goes through Giannis. If they got Giannis there, they do play much better. And I do think they can at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Even with a healthy Giannis, though, I don't think they can beat Boston. I'm not 100% sure, though.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to double back on another question here and with you, E, but I want to get Kay's thoughts and opinions on this. Are the Bucks in trouble here, man? We'll see you.
Yes. Without Giannis, yes, they're in trouble. I don't think it's because of Doc, though. Dame don't play defense, man. You know, with everything being so tight over the past 2 weeks, you know, I've had my basketball watching been up. My meter is up. And, you know, my knock on Dame is still the same. He don't play no defense, man. And he's a liability. You know, he can shoot and all that, but he don't play enough defense, man. They don't have a field day with Dame. The Pacers is. They don't have a field day on the offensive end. So, without Giannis, they are absolutely in trouble. And I got the Pacers in six.
Okay. That was my next question. Do they survive the Pacers? But you said no. So, E, I'm going to come back to you and then, okay, I'll ask you the same question. Kay mentioned Dame. He's not, you know, he's not the Dame. You know, he's Daming, if you will. He's not playing defense. But let me ask you this. Is Dame happy there, man? It seems like a lot of people are saying that a lot of reports that Dame isn't happy. His play is showing that he's not the Dame that we've accustomed to see in Portland. But what say you about Dame? Is he not happy? And if you think he is, obviously he'll stay. But if you don't think he's happy, will he go?
He's absolutely not happy. His first choice, and he made it clear, was Miami. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go play with his boy Adrees. Y'all probably know him as Bam. That's his boy. That's where he wanted to go. And like I said, he made no qualms about that. It was the worst test of tampering we've ever seen. But
you
couldn't
mention that.
The heat of tampering because this was coming from Dame's camp. And so for whatever reason, Portland said, nah, we ain't sending you there. And that's how he ended up in Milwaukee. Now, he got to go to Milwaukee and play with another bona fide superstar in Giannis. But, you know, winning, like I said before, winning cures a lot of stuff. They not winning. He's not happy there. And ultimately, again, I think he wants to end up in Miami with a Dries, because that's his boy. That was the plan the whole while. But we'll have to just see how it pans out. But no, I don't think he's happy.
Yeah, I'll give my thoughts and opinion on that as well. But okay, what say you about that same question?
So I agree that he's not happy, but I don't think he would have been more happy in Miami. Because I see him and Jimmy clash. You know what I mean? He don't play defense. I see him and Jimmy clash, man. And Jimmy don't give no what about who you are. You know what I mean? We all know this. You know what I mean? So
true.
I don't think he would have been happier in Miami. Listen, Dane's a great player. You know what I mean? He's a superstar. And he can lead a team, you know what I mean? But that's just it. They ain't need the ball in his hand all the time. He need to be that man on the team, and he's not that man for Milwaukee. That's why he's not happy. He can't take 100 shots a night, you know what I mean? You know, and everybody ain't, you know, it ain't just Dane. You know, it's Chris Middleton. What's up with me and names tonight? I can't remember buddy's name, but the crowd favorite guy. And then there's Giannis.
Drew Holiday?
You know what I'm saying?
Drew Holiday's in Boston now.
Oh, boy, Boston.
Not Holiday. The other cat. I think his name, Bobby, something like that.
Bobby Portis Jr.
Crowd favorite. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it ain't just about Dane. You know, and I mean, granted, I don't know him personally, but just what I see, man, it has to be about Dane, and it ain't about Dane, so. I don't think he'll be happy in too many places, to be honest with you. But not to take away from his play outside of his defense. I mean, on the offensive end, I'll take him any day. But they need Giannis.
Giannis. I agree and I disagree with you at the same time. I think it would have been a different situation in Miami, to be honest with you. I'm just saying that because I'm a fan. I'm just saying that I think that, you know, that defense, when you talk about the defense, and Dame doesn't play defense. All right, well, you don't play defense. Terry Rozier, who's the guy they brought in, you know, from I forgot where he came from, but
Charlotte.
Nevertheless. Charlotte. Thank you, Charlotte. Where he came from, he doesn't play defense. But what he does is he makes up for it by facilitating, by scoring 20 points, by giving you five assists, and by giving by three rebounds. And that's a point guard. So that's what you want your point guard to do is be a facilitator and then, you know, score as well, if you can be a scorer. Dame, you know, may have shown up in there because the Heat haven't played defense, you know, for the entire season. That's why they're in the play-in game right now. That's why they're in the play-in game. They feel like they'll turn it on in enough time to get into a play-in game and to get into a playoff game eventually. That's their goal. And look, you know, if you look at the game right now, they're showing that they can play defense. And I think Dame would have been happier there because I know he doesn't like this word, but the Heat culture would have made him happy. You know, the culture of the Heat for sure. But yeah, I mean, I disagree with you, but I get it at the same time. He may not have been happy for sure, but I think that with the inconsistency of the head coaching, because they have three head coaches, meaning the Bucks, in the last, what, 2 years, a year and a half, two seasons, whatever that number is, three different coaches in that time, and you got an established coach in Eric Spoelstra, who's, you know, a Hall of Fame coach at some point, one of the, you know, winningest coaches of all time, and, you know, that, again, sorry, E, but that culture, I think, would have, you know, motivated them a little bit differently without question. Good stuff there. All right. Next one here, man. I just want to ask you guys real quick here, man, is the Lakers. All right. The Lakers. I know we're up against the clock and we want to get into some other stuff before we get into E Scott's entertainment segment. But the Lakers. The Lakers, they went out and they won last night. They They beat the Pelicans. Tough game last night. Zion Williamson played his tail off. 40 points last night, double rebounds, but he's not going to be available. Hurt his hamstring in that game, so he's not going to be available Friday night against the Kings. But the Lakers have advanced, and then right now they're the seventh seed. So that means they're going to face the Denver Nuggets. How much chance do you give the Lakers? Do they have a legitimate chance? Because a lot of people were saying that the Lakers, they have a legitimate chance, you know, with the way LeBron is playing, with the way AD is playing, and then D'Angelo Russell, and those guys. What say you about the Lakers? How much of a chance do you give the Nuggets? Against the Nuggets?
None, at all. LeBron said, seeding don't matter. As long as you can get there. Well, I hate to tell you, LeBron, seeding does matter, and it matters a whole lot. When you're going up against that juggernaut that is Jokic, that matters. You want to build up to a Jokic. You don't want to play him first round. That ain't what you want. I mean, like that thing that y'all believe in, momentum. You better get some momentum behind you before you don't just walk it off the street and face them. But, I mean, I guess that gives you as good a shot as any. But you ask me what chance do they have against Denver?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It'll be a four-game sweep. They won't win the game.
Okay. All right, good stuff there, good stuff. Okay, what say you about the Lakers? How you feel about the Lakers? And on top of that, before you get started, Kay, who are you a fan of? Are you just an NBA fan, or do you have a team for me?
Unfortunately, he likes the Magic. But go ahead, I don't want to speak for you.
Okay. I think you did say that some time back. You're right. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, continue. Go ahead, Kay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm an Orlando Magic fan. I'm a little upset that we in the seed we in. We should have been the third seed, man. We had the third seed on lock and we went on like a 4-5-game losing streak. You know what I'm saying? And we had to beat Milwaukee to clinch what we got. So, you know, but we in, you know what I'm saying? And we ain't been in 4 years, but it's going to be a little tough. You know what I'm saying? We got to deal with Cleveland. We got to deal with Cleveland.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, I like us against Cleveland. So series starts Saturday, but I like us in six, maybe seven. But we got to get game one. So yeah, that's bad on that. But back to the Lakers. Lakers should be on vacation. I'm sorry. They should be playing tomorrow night or whatever to get in to the playoffs, to get the AC.
Yeah, Friday night.
Because I was watching the game, and when Zion got hurt, Zion had took over that game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had took over that game, and it was no question New Orleans was going to win. Zion was going to the hole with no problem. It didn't matter who was in front of him. Listen, man, I ain't realized that boy first step was like that. Good Lord, man. For him to be that big, though, and that first step, one time he went to the hole. It was him and LeBron, one-on-one. He went to the hole on LeBron. LeBron didn't even jump.
Step out of the way.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He didn't even jump. Like, man, shit, I'm just gone. You know, let's go down the other end. So, you know, Zion getting hurt last night saved the Lakers. That's for all Laker fans. If you was watching the game last night, you know I'm telling the truth. Zion getting hurt last night saved you. You know, Alvarado was out there on two bum ankles, driving and dishing to the hole with no problem. You know what I mean? So my point in saying that is, just as he said, bring the boom out. Clean up on aisle three. This is over. Well, my bad. Aisle four. This is over in four games.
yeah, absolutely right there, Kay, man. When you look at Zion, and that's what the frustrating thing most about Zion Williamson and a lot of people have about him, because they knew he had this potential. They knew if he can, you know, cut that weight down and stay committed to, you know, the nutrition and him staying in shape, they knew he can do stuff like this night in and night out, not just last night on a big stage, but every night he can do that. You know, rest some here and there like every other, you know, superstar does, you know, that load management. I mean, that's a real thing. I get it now. You know, it's a thing. So you have to go with that. But last night, Kay, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, but he had 40 and like the 13 rebounds, whatever it was. He did exactly what his team needed him to do in order for them to win that game. But that last play, man, that hamstring play, and which ultimately is keeping him out Friday night against the Kings, yeah, that cost the Lakers. The Lakers were looking at a Friday night a matchup against the Kings, which I think they probably would have lost. But nonetheless, yeah, I think you look at the matchup between the Lakers and the Nuggets. I think you have to pencil them in. I don't see the Nuggets giving up a game, you know, because you don't know what you're going to get. You know, Anthony Data Davis is like I like to call him, is Anthony Data Davis. You never know if he's going to be available. Last night it was his back. I feel like every time there's always an injury. That means like if they lose, it's because Anthony Davis was hurt. Like, but he looked fine last night. But yeah, I agree with you guys. Going to be the Nuggets if they, you know, you know what? I'll give them respect, E and K, and I'll say it's a gentleman's sweep. I'll go 4-1. I'll say it's 4-1. I'll say it's 4-1 just to get some respect. And I think LeBron has to, you know, if he goes out like this, he's going to go out, you know, as a gentleman's sweep. He's not going to get swept, for sure. All right. Let me see here. Where are we at time? All right, we got about, you know, a few minutes here. So, E, want to switch gears a little bit here. And I want to talk about, E, you and I talked about this throughout the week and then the other night, about the NIL and the transfer portal. So we're definitely switching gears here, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, we want to know, and E, you know, posed this question to me, you know, brought this to my attention. And then I thought it was a, you know, great question to ask. Should there be not so much a salary cap, but a cap or salary cap? I guess you want to throw a salary cap in there as well, but a cap on the NIL and the transfer portal. Now, E, I sent that to you because it just broke today that the NCAA, I'm not going to call them what I want to call them, the NCAA wants to give a unlimited transfer to those student athletes who are able to maintain, you know, good standing as far as academics. You know, they're in good standing with their previous college or university. They're on track to graduate on time. And if they're able to do that, and they're going to be able to transfer as many times as they want to in that aspect. So with that being said, E, let's talk about the NIL and the transfer portal and your thoughts about the cap, the transfer portal. You lead it off with this, man. So we're going to tee it up for you to take it off. So what say you about this?
Now, the second part of that about the unlimited amount of transfer, that just came to me today. So I'll get to that in just a second. But what I pose to you, and I think the NCAA would benefit if there was a commissioner and if there was a cap on NIL money. I mean, because right now, some of the biggest schools can literally buy players. I mean, that just is what it is. I mean, because you got, you know, most of the money from NIL comes from boosters anyway. And so if you take a school with a big booster program and got that type of money, they can pretty much go after, you know, guys. Because if a guy is out of school and he's somewhat happy there, but he's not getting the playing time that he wants, and then another school comes through with a bigger NIL deal, he's more likely to leave. And it causes confusion, and it waters down the game. But if you put a cap on NIL money and make it more even where, you know, some of the smaller schools can now compete, because it doesn't really matter how much booster money you have, everybody's working with the same amount of money. I just think that would fix a lot of this NIL transfer portal stuff. But now when you came to me today, you said now they're proposing you could transfer as many kinds of you want. I am vehemently against that because that's crazy. Yeah. Because a kid now will go to a school, and just because he's not happy, if he know he can leave and go play somewhere else, and then he's not happy there, he leaves and goes somewhere else. A lot of times when you're not happy anywhere, it's you. You the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really against that. I think that's a terrible idea, but I do think it should be a situation where they're all operating with the same amount of money, and then if you take certain money, especially from the school where the NIL money comes from the school, because, you know, I know Arkansas is one of those states where they can, the school can actually fund the NIL, one of those, then you got to show at least a two-year commitment. Like, just like an NBA contract, I think you should have to sign something where, hey, we're going to give you this money, but you got to commit for at least 2 years, or if you want to leave, then you got to get the money back. I mean, something like that. I just think the move that they're making right now is making it more out of control than fixing what the problem truly is.
Yeah, E, and before I come to UK, I just want to say this. Yeah, I agree what you're saying. I wholeheartedly agree what you're saying, but I get where the NCAA is coming from. Again, I'm holding off on what I really want to say about the NCAA, but I think what they're trying to do is they want to promote the academic aspect of it, because we all know back in our day, you know, we don't hear it too much today, at least I don't, back in the day. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You know exactly where I was going. So, yeah, the student-athlete aspect of it, ladies and gentlemen, and Prop 48. And Prop 48, if you don't know what that is, you know, first and foremost, look it up. Man, I may not do this justice, but Prop 48 was
quick Google search. You can find all you need to know about Proposition 48. Yes, sir.
Exactly. If you know where to listening to our show, I'm pretty sure you got it. Prop 48, which allows a student athlete to, if you don't have the grades or if you don't have the scholastic scores, you know, whether it be the ACT or the ACTs, SATs, excuse me. If you don't have the scores, you can go to the college or university and you can enter there, but you would have to sit out your first year. And what you would have to do, you would forfeit your first season going there, your first year going there. Now, you can get that back, providing that you graduate at the same time your class graduates, meaning the same class that you come in. Let's say you go in, you know, 2024, and you're scheduled to graduate in 2028. You know, as long as you graduate with your class, you can get that year back. You can get the year, your sport, whatever respective sport that you're playing, you can get that year back. So you're not going to, you know, you can play 4 years as, you know, any other player would play. Well, not today, but you can play for 6 years if you Bo Nix, 7 years or whatever. But nonetheless, you can get that year back nonetheless, if providing that you graduate with the class that you came in with. I hope I explained that correctly. But again, if I did not, if I made it confusing, like E said, look it up. Prop 48, you know, look to Google that. It's there. And that's what I think what they're trying to implement now. Either trying to promote that or trying to incentivize. Is that a word, incentivize? They're trying to put that incentive in there for you to focus on your sport, focus on your academics, so you can continue to play the sport that you love. And if you don't like the coach that comes in, because sometimes, you know, there are coaching changes, and you may not be agreeing with that system. The system may not fit your style of play, you know, or your whatever respective sport you play. And it allows you to transfer, and you can do that as many times as you want to, as long as you're in good standing. So I agree with that aspect of it, because they are promoting. So I'm gonna play a little devil's advocate here, if you will, and I'm gonna say that, you know, they're doing it for they're doing it for a good reason, and, you know, because they want to make sure that we don't forget about the academic aspect of all of this. Even though sports brings so much money to each and every college and university, so I'm sorry I was a little long-winded on that, but I just wanted to just get that out there. But Kay, what say you about this? K-Mop, you on mute.
Hey, I don't. Hey, it's tough, man. I don't know, man, because there's so much we don't know for fact about the NIL, other than they're making a lot of money. You know, I think if you try to put a cap on it, these cats will go back to doing things how they did it before, you know what I mean, which wasn't so legal. So I think the big schools will still figure out a way to win, you know, if you put a cap on it or contracts or whatever the case may be. I mean, they figure it out now. I mean, like you said, Bo Nix played for 6 years, good Lord.
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, and all this transferring, I mean, yeah, they can do it, but unless you transfer somewhere and you truly show out, it doesn't help. You know what I mean? They're only hurting themselves, you ask me, because all this transferring tells me you're not loyal. So as soon as I draft you and you know, things ain't going right, you're going to be all in the media talking noise about how we ain't treating you right. So, you know, that's how mm-hmm. I see it. So all the transferring, you know, it works out for some, like the kids that transferred into Florida State. You know, the majority of those, I think four of them, are projected to go in the first round, no later than second. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every now and then it does work out, but it doesn't look good. So allowing them to transfer as much as they want, I mean, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That don't mean you're going to be able to transfer as much as you want. You know, a lot of kids jump into the transfer portal now, and they end up jumping out the transfer portal because things don't look how they thought it was going to look, you know. So.
And see, here's another thing about the transfer portal. I liken it to, like, back in the day, not now, but back in the day when kids used to go straight from high school to the pros. Because for every mm-hmm. Kobe, LeBron, KG, and Jermaine O'Neal you have, there's mm-hmm. 100 guys you ain't never heard of. That
right.
Not 100 back then, but there's 15, 20 guys you ain't never heard of that it didn't fare so well for. And I think that's the same thing with the transfer portal. Yeah, you can get you some diamonds in the rough in the transfer portal, and you can
mm-hmm.
get you some good guys. But, because like last year, I think it was over 10,000 kids in the football transfer portal. There
mm-hmm.
ain't even that many slots on rosters around the school,
mm-hmm.
so you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like Kay said, if you find yourself in the transfer portal, that really says more about you than it does the school that you went to. Now, if you're a kid that say you went to Bama and going into camp, it was you and another guy that could be the starting quarterback or whatever,
yeah.
and the other guy beat you out because he truly was better than you. Now, I
understand
you hopping in the portal because you want to football. Like Kay said, most of the kids that's in there, it's because they disgruntled about something. Not because they may be disgruntled about playing, but you're not playing because you're not that good. And now the transfer portal, if it's unlimited, you can just bounce around for your Bo Nix 6 years and still, you know, end up working down at the Walmart in your little hometown because you didn't make it. I mean, I don't. And I'm for the transfer portal, don't get me wrong, and I'm definitely for NIL money, but I do think it needs, both of those things need to be better regulated.
Yeah, and I think you're definitely onto something, and I think this is something that they're starting with, to be honest with you, because, you know, listen, we're going to allow you to do, you know, transfer as many times as you want to, but you got to make sure you're taking care of your responsibilities, because it's exactly what you just mentioned, E. You don't want to end up in that local Walmart, you know, working, knowing that you went to, you know, X amount of college or, you know, X name college, X name university, whatever the case may be, and knowing you had the opportunity to educate yourself, to get a degree so you can, you know, have a better job or corporate job or whatever, what have you. And I think that's where this falls into place, is that's what they're trying to do. And then I'm not saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and you work at a Walmart, we're not disrespecting that. You know, you do what you have to do, what you have to do. But we're just saying that, you know, we all know that if you're, you know, in a certain situation and you have better, you know, certain opportunities presented to you, you have to take advantage of that because it does provide you with a different job. I'm not going to say a better job, a different job that allows, you know, to get more money. So I'm not trying to disrespect. We're not trying to disrespect anybody, you know, working at the Walmart by any stretch of the imagination. It's just saying that we want to preach the NCAA is trying to preach. I can't believe I'm agreeing with the NCAA here, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. It's really boggling the more and more I think about it. But nonetheless, I get it. I mean, I get what they're trying to do here, ladies and gentlemen, without question. So with that being said, as far as the cap goes, you're going to have to, you know, I don't know how they regulate that, though. I think you alluded to it a little bit. I think you touched on a little bit about there being a commission that has to see, like, you know, who has what NIL deal, how many NIL deals here, how much is it worth, so forth. So on. I don't know.
Handle NIL money like you handle scholarships. A team only has X amount of scholarships to give out. So now they only got X amount of NIL money to give out. But like Kay said, you know, that just going to mean they're going to go back to buying them under the table.
Exactly.
It's not a perfect solution. But I just know right now, K-Walk, the way it currently is, something has to be done, is my point.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's put a pin in this, ladies and gentlemen, E and K. Let's put a pin in this and revisit this later on, you know, in the summer when things kind of die down for us, if you will. And let's revisit it and let's think about how we can come up with a plan as far as how we can regulate this. What's the best way to regulate the NIL deals? And as far as, because it's getting, like you guys all said, it's getting out of hand. It really is. And that's just for any college or any, you know, any university, without question. All right. Got a couple minutes here, E. All right. So we want to do this, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to take a break here because we got to get into E. Scott's entertainment segment. E, we got to do it's come out and a lot of players have come out and gave their NBA all-time starting five. All time. I mean, I'm talking about from day one with Naismith and the basket when it was first invented until the last shot of the Heat and Sixers game at halftime as well. So we're going to go that far. So with that being said, and Kay, I'm going to give you some time. I know we didn't give you the heads up. I apologize for that, brother. But
okay.
We're going to give
Kay
you some time.
Kay and I have had this conversation many times. He's ready.
All right, cool. All right, all right.
He's
That's
ready.
That's what's up. So you want to go first, E? You want me to go first?
I'll give you my five first.
Okay,
now,
go ahead. Take it away, bro.
I put Magic at the one.
Okay.
I got MJ at the two. Mm-hmm. I put Kobe at the three. I got Timmy at my four. And I got Shaq at my five. Now, I know that may not be everybody's starting five, and I'm not saying these five are better than other guys.
That's your
that,
five.
You know, you might name whatever, but these are my five because I'm going to get my scoring from Mike and Kobe, no question, at the two and the three. Magic is going to be able to get my guys the ball exactly where they want the ball. Timmy, the best four ever, in my opinion, and Shaq took two moves to the Hall of Fame, dunk left, dunk right. That's all he got. But that's all he needs, dog. With Shaq in the middle, so like I said, Magic at the one, Mike at the two, Kobe at the three, Timmy at the four, Shaq at the five. That's my five right there.
I'm not mad at that. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, as long as you have, in my opinion, as long as you have MJ, Michael Jordan, in your top, in your starting five, I'm good with your starting five, but nonetheless.
Remember the thing I sent you, everybody had him in there except for KG. But KG had to be high with his starting five.
I don't know what the heck
that was.
I'll get into that in a second. But Kay, what say you about your starting five?
So, he got three of my players. but I'm going to let that slide, you know what I mean? So I got Magic at the one. Surprisingly, man, I flip-flopped Kobe and Magic, man. I mean, Kobe and Mike. I put Kobe at the two and Magic at the three. I mean, Mike at the three.
Okay.
I got Chris Webber.
Right, exactly.
I got Chris Webber at four. And at five, I got Kareem.
Ooh.
Okay, I ain't mad at that.
That's interesting, man. That's interesting. Yeah, but, like you said, like E said, As long as you got MJ there, I'm good. Like I said earlier, I'm good. All right, this is my five. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, my four I contemplated because I'll get to that in a second. But at number one,
if you say Karl Malone, I'm hanging up. I'm not even doing my segment. If you say Karl Malone at the four, this conversation of friendship is over. But go ahead.
Hey, I should hang up on you for thinking that I would put Karl Malone in my top five.
No, I don't. Think you would. I was just letting you know.
Yeah, come on. You got to know me better than that, bro.
Oh, yeah,
come on,
I do.
Man.
I do. My bad. All right.
Number one, I mean, at the point guard, number one, I got Magic. You got to go with Magic, our best point guard, greatest point guard of all time, in my opinion. Number two, you know I'm going to go with MJ, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Number three, listen, I got Pip here, man. I got Pip. I think Pip is the greatest sidekick of all time. He can do so much. He plays defense. He can score if you need him to score. He can get those threes in the mid-range as well. Number four, see, this is where I always had this guy at four until I saw his top five. But I'm going to stick with him because nonetheless, I like him. I'm going to go with the big ticket. So I'm going to go with the big ticket, KG, at four. And at five, I got the Dream. So at one, I got Magic. Two, I got MJ. Three, I got Pip. Four, I got Big Ticket. And five, I got the Dream. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is how I looked at all five of these guys can score. With the exception of Magic, all of these guys can play defense. They've been named a defensive player or first team defensive player. So I want offense. And I want defense on my team as well. And like you guys alluded to, Magic can facilitate to these guys. So that's why I'm looking at it. But E, I was so close to changing my pick from the big ticket to the big fundamental. Once I saw big tickets, top five, starting five.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I'm gonna go with. Go ahead, E.
No, I was saying, I got Timmy at the four because I just think he's the greatest forever. But I'm not mad at C-Web, and I'm not mad at the ticket. The first, I flip-flopped. I was going to put Steph at the one. But I'm like, okay, if I got Steph at my one, and with the amount that Steph shoots, that's less ball for Kobe and Mike. And I don't really need that from Steph, but I wouldn't be mad at Steph. Now on your list, the only pushback I would give you is Pip at your three. The reason I would put pushback at Pip at your three, Pip's best position was point forward. I don't need him to play point forward if I got Magic on the floor. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not mad at Pip, but I'm just saying I actually thought about LeBron at the three or even Larry Bird at the three. Larry Bird would have been a defensive liability, so I immediately got rid of that. I could have put LeBron at the three, but if I'm going to look at Kobe or LeBron, I went Kobe. And that's, if we have more time, we could delve deeper into the reasons why we put people where they are. But, I mean, I think both of you guys had real good lists, though.
Yeah, and then my pushback to your pushback is I don't need Pip to bring the ball up. I just need him to play defense and get the rebounds that I need him. That's all I need. I don't need him to bring the ball up. But, yeah, you're right. We're going to revisit that. So we're going to put a pin in that, another pin, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to put into into this. So we're going to definitely dive into some great stuff for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. If you're a longtime listener, you already know. If you're a first-time listener, stay on your toes. It's time for E. Scott's entertainment segment, and I'm putting up the 25. If you want to call in, again, 347-637-3286. Call in if you think you could beat either myself or Special K tonight. All right? It's Sports Talk, K-Walk, E. Scott. Never had it so good, Sports Radio. Be right back.
How you do that, dip? How you do that death, New Orleans, Baton Rouge? How you do that death, Lafayette, St. Charles? How you do that death, Shreveport, Mississippi? How you do that death, Alabama, Atlanta? How you do that death, Florida, Arkansas? How you do that death?
Say who that? Say they wanna do that. Run up.
Hey, what up, guys? I got a good one dialed up for you tonight. I think it was a good decision to put the 2-5 up because I think you'll know a lot of these, K-Walk, but I also think K will know a bunch of these too. And
if you've been paying attention to the show, a lot of the names that are going to come up in this segment have already come up tonight. What I got for you guys, I got where did they go to school. I'm going to give you a player, and I need you to tell me where they went to school. But before we get started, as always, East Coast Entertainment segment is being brought to you by...
Oh, I'm sorry, so sorry. Yeah, I wasn't dialed up for that. It's brought to you by Vintage Labs. I'm so sorry, brother. I was so into everything else. I am my bad. I have to read this later.
We'll get them at no problem. We'll get them at the end. So we'll go ahead and hop right on into it.
Okay.
K-Walk, we're going to start with you. I got 19 on the board. As always, three daily doubles. Again, where did they go to school? You give me, I'll give you a player, and you give me the school.
All right. Give me number one.
Number one, Jalen Brunson. Where did Jalen Brunson go? Oh, they're all basketball players, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
My bad. All basketball players.
All right. So I went to school with his father, so I know he went to Villanova. Well, his father went to Temple, but he went to Villanova. Final answer.
That is correct. Jalen Brunson did go to Villanova. So, it's okay.
Let me see if you got 13 on the board.
Yes, number 13, Aaliyah Boston. Where did Aaliyah Boston go to school?
Aaliyah Boston, that would be South Carolina Game Chicken. yeah.
Good job. that is correct. Aaliyah, South Carolina is the correct answer. K-Walk.
Yes, sir. All right, give me number, let me see where I'm at. Give me number 7. I'm a quarterback here.
Number seven, Cheryl Swoops. Where did Cheryl Swoops go to school?
Texas Tech, final answer.
Texas Tech is the correct answer. Mm-hmm. So it's okay, we're on you.
14.
Number 14, your boy from the Magic, Wendell Carter Jr. Where did Wendell Carter Jr. go to school?
I have no idea, so I'm going to just throw something out there. I'm going to say Villanova, final answer.
K-Walk, you can steal. Wendell Carter Jr. from K's Orlando Magic, and he didn't know. I'm disappointed in you, K.
Yeah, brother. I mean, as a North Carolina fan, I have to know this. He went to Duke, final answer.
That is correct. He is a Blue Devil. K-Walk, where are you?
All right, give me number four.
Number four, Trey Young. Where did Trey Young go to school?
Oklahoma, final answer.
Oklahoma is the correct answer. Special K.
Me at 15.
Number 15, Chet Holmgren. Where did Chet Holmgren go to school?
Oh. Chet Holmgren with the Gonzaga, final answer.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the correct answer. Special K.
So on me, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Came off, my bad.
Yeah. Are you good? Give me number two.
Number two, Tyrese Halliburton. Where did Tyrese Halliburton go to school?
You know what? It's so funny. I don't know where this dude went to school at, so I'm going to guess Halliburton. Kentucky, final answer. I don't know this one. Dang.
So that's okay. You can steal. Tyrese Halliburton, where did he go to school?
I don't know either, man, but I'm going to throw something out there. Tyrese Halliburton, I'm going to say Arizona, final answer.
Nah, he actually went to Iowa State. Tyrese Halliburton went to Iowa State.
Definitely would have known that.
So, that's
okay. They don't come on TV. 16.
Right.
Number 16, your man's. Julius Randle from the New York Knickerbockers. Where did Julius Randle go to school?
Where'd Juju go at, man? I think I know that. Kentucky, final answer.
Kentucky is the correct answer. K-Walk, we on you.
All right, give me number, where we at? Give me number three.
Number three, Tyrese Maxey. Where did Tyrese Maxey go to school?
Another Wildcat, Kentucky, final answer.
That is the correct answer. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
17.
Number 17,
Daily Double. Currently, K-Walk has 25. You got 15.
All in.
I think this game is going to come down to Daily Double. Okay.
Ooh.
All in for 15 points. Willis Reed. Another Knickerbocker.
Ooh.
Where did Willis Reed go to school?
Man, I don't like you, man. And why would you give me that? You know what I'm saying? Why you couldn't give me Dwight Howard or something? You know what I'm saying? Or Shaq, Kobe Bryant, yeah, damn Willis Reed, man.
I wasn't born, man.
Shoot, man. What black folk went to school at back then? Alabama A&M, Potter House.
Unfortunately, if the money wasn't on the line, I would have gave you a clue. That is the wrong answer. Willis Reed with the Grambling State University. But I couldn't help you out because the money on the line.
I knew it had to be HBCU.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he with the my HBCU, Grambling State University. Okay. You still got two Daily Doubles on the board. There's still some time left. K-Walk.
All right. Give me number 11.
Number 11, Duncan Robinson from Yo Miami Heat. Where did Duncan Robinson go to school?
He went somewhere out west. Where did my man Duck Rob go? He went somewhere out west. I don't know where he went to school at. I'm not even going to lie, ladies. Oh, no, he didn't. All right. I don't know, man. West. Did he go out west? I'm going to say Arizona State. I forget where he went to school. Arizona State, final answer.
So, Scott, you can steal. Duncan Robinson, where did he go to school?
I don't know this either, but since he's throwing out hints, Arizona State, I'm going to go with San Diego State, final answer.
he's a Wolverine. He was a Wolverine. He went to Michigan.
Oh, yes.
I don't know why I listen to this man.
He wasn't on the Fab Five.
I don't know why I listen to me either.
he wasn't on the Fab Five, but he did go to Michigan. Special K, where are you?
Let me see. I think I'm at 18.
Number 18, Jaime Jaquez Jr. from Yo Miami Heat, K-Walk.
Yeah, I know this one. Yeah.
Where did Jaime Jaquez Jr. go, Special K?
Yeah, I know this one. This is an easy one.
He in the dunk contest. He got the locks flowing. He dunking. He look goofy. He Mexican. I guess he Mexican.
He got the commercial with Jimmy Butler.
I'm going to say Gonzaga. Find out.
K-Walk, go ahead and steal it from him.
UCLA. UCLA. Follow
it. That is correct. He did go to UCLA. K-Walk, where are you? You're two double right, doubles out there.
All right. Give me number 5.
Number 5, SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Where did SGA go to school?
Oh, well, I don't have no idea where SGA. You know what? I'm horrible at it. So I'm going to say SGA, he's in Oklahoma. So no one heard of him. So I'm thinking he's going somewhere around there. So I'm going to say Oklahoma State, final answer.
Okay, well, okay, you can steal. Where did SGA go to school?
I don't know either, man. So I'm going to go with SGA, man. Name long like that. That boy got to be from the West Coast. But I'm going to go with Alabama. Final answer.
No, SGA plays for Cal. He actually went to Kentucky.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Let's see. Such K, where are you?
19, man. Top it off.
Number 19, Scotty Barnes. Where did old Scotty Barnes go to school?
I don't know, but he's a Barnes, so I'm going to go with North Carolina find out.
I have no words. That is incorrect,
right.
But I have no retort. K-Walk, where did Scotty Barnes
go? You see my
school?
Logic there? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. We do. We do. Really do. I think he played in – I think he went to Clemson. I think he played in the ACC. So I'm going to say Clemson, final answer. Give it to me.
ACC is correct. Clemson is wrong. So it's okay. He went to Florida State. That's
I was just about to say that.
He went to Florida State. Tell me, where are you?
Number six, Daily Double. You have 30. Special K is not on the board.
Oh, he's not on the board. All right. That's right. I didn't mark him off. I forgot he got to. I'll do 15. Let me do, because there's a Daily Double still out there, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4 left. So I'll do 15.
Okay, for 15 points, the Ant-Man. Where did the Ant-Man go to school?
Oh, man. I don't think I know this one, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. Midwest, so I'm going to say he's in Minnesota, right? So I'm going to say he went to Ohio State, final answer. I don't know.
Ant-Man actually went to Georgia. Okay, we could possibly have ourselves a game here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Special K.
Let's go the other way now. 12.
Let me see. Number 12. Breonna Stewart. Where did Breonna Stewart go to school?
Bree? Big Bree, my cousin. She went to Baylor. Find out.
Finally wrong. Where did Breonna Stewart go to school?
Yeah, as a Liberty fan, I definitely.
Oh, Breonna Stewart. Golly.
UConn, finally.
She played for Geno. That is correct. Mm-hmm. UConn is correct.
Now, you know what I was thinking about, though?
Brittany
Griner.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
K-Walk, where are you?
Watch this be the next answer. Number eight.
Number eight, Cynthia Cooper. Where did C. Coop go to school?
Oh, she went.
You don't know that.
I don't. No, I do. I think she went to Texas Tech, too. Did she go to Texas Tech, too? I want to say Texas Tech. I see her in a red school for some reason or another. I'm going to say, was it Texas Tech? Texas Tech, final answer. I don't think that's it, though.
So, Scott, you can steal.
I see her in red. Why do I see her in red?
So, Scott, you there?
No, he just dropped off. Let's wait for him to come back, though. He just dropped off.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll wait for him to come back. I can see her in red. I don't know what it is. We had, he can call back in, so we got time. Let's wait for him to call back in here. So what's the score right now while we're waiting for Kay to come back? What score you got?
I got you at 20. So it's Kay still not on the board.
All right, so we got one Daily Double left, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we got 1, 2, we got 9, 10, and 2 left. All right, just waiting for him to call back in, ladies and gentlemen.
So, yeah, while we're waiting on him, yeah, back to the starting five we did. I do think that we all had starting five. I like Akeem at your five. And I knew Special K was going to go with Kareem because, like I said, we had that debate all the time. And I do think Kareem is really good. I also think Akeem is really good. But Shaq just so dominant. I cannot not have a team and not put Shaq out there. I'm talking about prime Shaq, not Shaq.
Right.
I got you. TNT, because, you know, he's 400 pounds now. He's probably can barely move. But prime Shaq was a monster. He only had two moves. Dunk left, dunk right. Took him all the way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the thing I went with my team is I was thinking defense, and I was thinking guys who weren't like ball dominant, who didn't need to bring up the ball every time, you know, other than Magic. Cause Magic is you know, a pure point guard. So I went with there with Magic. MJ, you know, he played with John Paxton. He played what? Steve Kerr, he played with Ron Harper, you know, Pip. You mentioned Pip and being a point forward. So I was thinking about those guys, you know, just running a certain offense. I don't know what offense they would run, maybe the triangle. I don't know. Maybe that another topic of conversation that we can bring up for sure, as far as what offense would you put your starting five in as well. Because I think my offense would be they would be defense first and foremost. My starting five, other than Magic, we'll play defense without question.
I would definitely run the triangle because I got three players that played on the field: Shaq, Kobe,
right,
and Mike. So yeah, we definitely run it. And I got Tex Winters out here supervising. So yeah, we running this triangle.
Yeah, exactly. And I got Mike and Pitt running that triangle as well. And if you look at, you know, MJ, Magic, he's not a scorer though, but Pitt, and then, you know, you got Pitt there and you got KG, who could be a better version of Horace Grant or Dennis Rodman, cuz you know, KG could play defense. He rebounds and he can score too. So I got scorers and I got guys who can play defense. Man, I really like my. I mean, Magic may be the weak link if you're talking about, you know, defense. You know, on the defensive side of the court, I think that, you know, that might be my weakest link. But everybody's gonna have a weak link. But we don't have K on here. I don't know if you reached out to him and see where he's at, what's going on there. But
we're going to wrap it up. You were right,
all right,
on the red. You were right because he wasn't going to come back. You were right,
okay,
on the red, but Cynthia Cooper played at USC. That's why you saw him.
USC. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number nine was the Daily Double. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Shamika Holzclaw.
Tennessee, following.
That is correct. Number 10, Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero went to Kentucky, if I went.
That is correct. I think that's
all
over.
Kentucky theme tonight.
Well, I mean, you know, little shout out to Cal. I was trying to pick, you know, up and coming superstars that are in the league right now. I went with Willis Reed for sentimental reasons, and then, you know, I wanted to get a W some love because, you know, women's basketball is on the come up. So that was really the theme for tonight. But yes, yeah, so I hate we lost K, but like I said, he wasn't going to come back. I see right now Philly has cut the lead to 3 in this game with just about 5 minutes left in the third. So, that's pretty much all I had for tonight because, the things we put a pin in, we would need a little more time. So, if you want to go ahead and take us on home, and if you got that read ready for Vintage Labs, we can go ahead and do that here too.
Oh, absolutely. E. Scott's Entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, was brought to you by Vintage Labs. Vintage Labs is bringing the best patient outcomes and healthcare environments and consumer homes. To schedule a consultation with a pharmacist, please visit Vintage Labs at VintageLabsCollection.com. Again, that is VintageLabsCollection.com. All right, got great stuff there, ladies and gentlemen. Want to thank everyone who continues to listen to us and continues to reach out to us. I want to send you something on the side because someone reached out to me today about possibly coming on to the show. I'm going to send you the link and everything, and you let me know what you think about that because they've been listening and they want to come on to the show as well. So I'll reach out to you about that. We'll talk about that for sure. I'll send that to you as soon as the show ends. But like I always want to do, ladies and gentlemen, as I always want to leave you with something positive. This evening, I'll leave you with this. You will face many defeats in life, but never let yourself be defeated. All right? So I'm Kay Walk for E. Scott. For Sports Talk with Kay Walk and E. Scott, God willing, we will talk to you next week.
Yep.